The series that we are looking at this morning is Encounters with Jesus. Last week, Stefan opened this series talking about the story of Nicodemus and how he was a man that had come to Jesus with a lot of questions, kind of seeking more information from him. But after his encounter with Jesus, he was left with this kind of quest for a new life rather than the answers to his questions. This morning, we're going to continue with this theme, but in a slightly different way. Stefan was actually due to preach this morning, and sadly, on Thursday, he found out that his grandma had passed away. So he has traveled to Northern Ireland with Shannon. I think it's important that we all know so that we can send our prayers for him and the family. And actually, Sarah was due to stand in this morning and preach because Stefan was away. But Sarah has been diagnosed with gallstones, so she is really not very well either. So before we start, shall we just lift both of them up in prayer? Father God, we thank you that you are a good God. And we thank you that you are our comforter in times of grief and in times of sorrow. And we just want to lift Stefan and Shannon and their family to you at this really sad time of their Nan's passing. But we do thank you, Father God, for the long life that she had and the fact that she knew you. She knew she was going home to be with you. And we thank you and praise you for that. And we also want to lift up Sarah to you this morning, Father, not feeling very well. We just thank you for the medical staff that have been around her this weekend. And we just pray, Father, for a kind of speedy diagnosis and treatment for the pain that she's in at the moment. And we just pray that you will be with her and that she will sense your presence with her. We thank you, Father God, that you are our healer. And we pray healing for Sarah this morning. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen. And so, yes, just explaining that this morning. So as of yesterday afternoon, I wasn't expecting to be standing here this morning speaking to you about encounters with Jesus. So after a few kind of moments of panic and deep breathing, a few texts exchanged with friends about what I should do, I actually, I sat down kind of quietly and stilled myself, and I just said to God, you know, what shall I do? How do I respond? And I really felt him just encourage me to share with you this morning some of the things that I have learnt in my own recent encounters with him. And so I've pulled out just three really simple things that I'm going to share with you this morning, but I really hope that they will encourage you and where you're at. So the first thing I want to share is that we encounter Jesus when we choose to come to him. And I know it sounds kind of silly to say, really. It sounds almost so obvious to say that. But I've also been around long enough to know that we always need encouraging to come to Christ. Because more often than not, choosing to come to Jesus can be the last thing that we feel like doing. I think since the fall, we as human beings have been trying to do life on our own terms. We've tried to be doing life our way. You know, I think self-sufficiency is a real theme in the culture that we live in. And often I find it's not even a conscious choice. It's almost like our natural default position is to try and work everything out and control it ourselves. You know, the culture we live in celebrates us having it all together. And admitting our need and learning to depend on someone else, you know, makes us feel weak and vulnerable. Last week in our team devotional, we read some familiar verses from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I want to read them to you this morning. It's when Jesus says this. He says, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I am gentle, I'm humble, and I'm easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. I love those verses. And what really stands out for me in those verses is Jesus' invitation for us to simply come. You know, many times in the New Testament, we read stories of Jesus asking the disciples and others to come and follow him. But not often do we hear him just say, just come. And how freeing is it to know that we can just come to Jesus as we are? And that actually it says here, he is easy to please. And all he requires of us will be pleasant and easy to bear. It sounds like a really good deal to me. I get to come to him with the burdens, the things that I might be carrying, and somehow in his presence, in the coming together with him, my burden is exchanged for what is light and easy. Because the truth is that Jesus wants our hearts more than he wants our works. He longs for us just to be with him in his presence, where his rest and his refreshment await us. I really think that no matter how long we've been Christians, we need to make a commitment to keep coming to him in order for us to really know this truth, not just read this truth, but know this truth and experience the reality of it for ourselves. Because when we come to him, but we're still trying to work everything out ourselves, we're actually not really trusting him. We're still carrying our own burdens. And I think in my life, that's where I was not that long ago. I was carrying burdens of so many different things. I was trying desperately to understand what God was doing and why he would be allowing certain things to happen in my life. I was kind of like internally tying myself in knots with my need to desperately understand it and feel some kind of control. You know, with a growing family and work commitments and church commitments, my life was full and good, but my time with God would get squeezed. And although from an outsider's point of view, things looked fine, the busier and fuller my life became, the more frustrated and dissatisfied I was. You see, I think the stuff of life, for most of us, if we're really honest, you know, we find ourselves feeling burned out and carrying weights that we were never meant to carry. I can remember this one particular day. It was probably about 2 years ago. It was autumn, I remember that, because it was windy and the kind of leaves, a bit like today, were kind of being blown about. And I was walking my dog and I was just feeling really dissatisfied and frustrated. And I wanted more of God. I desperately wanted more of God in my life. I wanted to know more of him. I wanted to experience more of him in every aspect of my life, in my marriage, in my home, raising my children, in our church. And I started to pray out loud, these slightly kind of crazy prayers, but they were really brutally honest and from the heart. And I sensed deep in my spirit that I knew that more of him was the answer to everything that I was feeling. In that moment, I gave God permission to move into my life in new ways. And sometimes I think we have to get desperate.
I lift up my...
Oh, there's the video. Surprise! We'll do that bit later. But why is it sometimes we have to get desperate? You know, we really have to get to the end of ourselves, get to a place where we just don't have the answers and we have to admit it. But we risk coming to him in the complete reality of who we are, the good, the bad, the ugly of it, in order for things to shift and move, and so that we can really experience the refreshment that God promises. It brings me to my second point, which is that when we encounter Jesus, we learn to trust in his love. You see, when we come to him, it's like our life is joined with his. And as that happens, we have to learn to surrender control completely. It's interesting to me that the verses preceding those that I read, Jesus also says this. He says, "Father, you have hidden the great revelation of your authority from those who are proud and wise in their own eyes. Instead, you have shared it with those who humble themselves. Yes, Father, your plans delight your heart, and you've chosen this way to extend your kingdom by giving it to those who have become like trusting children." There's a bit of a theme here this morning with the dedication and that childlike trust. God really wants us to be able to come to him like children, humble in heart. But in order to really be able to trust him, we have to know who he is. We have to know his character, and we have to know and experience his love for ourselves. Over the years, for me, it's meant reading his word to discover the truth of who he is and choosing to declare it and speak it despite what I might sometimes be feeling or thinking. Each of us have been chosen by God. We've been chosen and called with purpose. John 1:12 says, "But those who embraced him and took hold of his name were given authority to become the children of God." God has chosen me, and he's chosen you. He loves you as his son and as his daughter, in all your weakness, in all your insecurity and your brokenness. You don't need to be perfect, only to trust that his love is enough. Sometimes I really think we need to take the pressure off ourselves, and we need to learn to rest in this truth alone. Another part of trusting like children, I think, is knowing our own limitations and learning dependence. We see this morning little Daniel completely dependent at the moment on his parents for support and to meet his every need. And actually, God has created us to be that exact way with him. Over the past year or so in my life, through different challenges and losses and hardships, God has moved me and shown me more of my own areas of brokenness and weakness. It's not been easy, and in many ways, I feel like I've moved from feeling quite capable and in control of things to feeling the total opposite in practically every sphere of life. Sometimes God allows us to go through experiences that teach us greater dependence on him in order for us to know how much we are loved by him. In my quiet times that I've been making, he has been anchoring me and securing me in his love, teaching me to trust him for the big and the small. And that's what he wants to do for each of you. And then thirdly and finally, when we encounter Jesus, we have to learn to surrender to his ways. You know, part of surrendering to Christ is that it means we learn to accept the ways and the timings which he chooses to bring about his kingdom purposes in our lives, even when it's not what we would choose. I love these words in Proverbs 3:5-8. "Trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. With your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and you avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment your body and your spirit long for." If you're a gardener, you'll know that you can't rush the growth process. I'm not a gardener, so I'm not well acquainted with that, but I get the metaphor. Gardening is a really slow process, and it's really easy to get bored and frustrated when you're not seeing the growth that you desire. But similarly, if we try and rush our own growth, we probably and very possibly can destroy what God is working out in our lives. You see, I have a tendency to be the kind of person that when I know God is really trying to speak to me about something, I'm kind of like trying to negotiate with him. I'm like, okay, God, so if I'm going to have to surrender this, then can you just tell me so that we can get it over and done with and I can move on? You know, help me know what I need to learn or unlearn. I just want it done and over with so that, you know, life can get back to being easy again. It can be really disorientating letting God take the lead in our lives. It goes against the grain of our culture. But not one of us can make God's promises happen for ourselves. God is well able to get you to where he wants you, when he wants you there, and how he wants you there. I think we need to get an understanding of the spiritual seasons that we are in. And we need to learn to just submit and let God lead us through them, not trying to skip steps or fast track ourselves through the process. Because when we learn to embrace God's process and his timeline for building our lives, I really believe it's possible not just to survive, but to actually thrive in the midst. When I say thriving, what I mean is growing in character, growing in wisdom, growing in faith, growing in endurance, growing in strength, and so much more. Growing is never comfortable, but it can be exhilarating and rewarding. You know, God's timing in our lives is always perfect, and he is always gracious and kind with the ways that he chooses to work with us. And so in the time that we have left together this morning, I want to invite the band to come back, and I just want to create some space for us to respond. I don't know what season of life you might be in right now. I don't know where in the growth process you are. But I do know that you have a God who is in it with you. And I really sense this morning that God wants us to come to him. There might be some of you here that are feeling weary and burdened, trying to carry the weight of circumstances or things on your own. And I want you to know that God's invitation to you is to come. Come, align your life with his and allow him to carry that weight for you. You will always find refreshment as you come. And so as the band worship, we're going to sing together. And I just want to say that if that is you this morning, then don't miss out on this moment. Come forward. Come forward and let somebody pray with you. Respond. Don't miss out on what God has got for you. Because he's ahead of you on your journey. He's gone ahead of you on your path. He has provision for you that you can't even imagine. He just wants you to come. You don't have to be anything other than who you are, as you are. Let's worship.